And we're back.
Hello, hello.
In the green room.
Hi.
Here we are with Mariano Romano and Judy Neal and me, Vinny Verderosa, or Vinny V, whatever. And we've been having a really cool conversation here.
Yeah, if you guys just tuned in, we're with Judy Neal. She's author of The Edgewalkers, and she just gave us a list of the five attributes
yeah.
of an edgewalker. And they were knowing yourself, being able to go on an inner journey to get to know who you are, being passionate, being a visionary, having integrity and values, and being playful.
You're very good, Marianne.
I took notes.
You took notes.
She's a good student.
I leave everything to the memory and forget it. It's gone.
So, yeah, we got kind of ran out of time in that segment, but Judy, did you want to add anything else to that?
Yeah, I want to back up a step to the bigger picture around this question of spirituality and business, and just to say one of the main reasons to be taking a look at this and to look at leaders and corporations that really are very enlightened is because business is the most powerful institution on the planet. I mean, they run the economic systems, they hire the best people, they have the broadest reach because of the international work that so many organizations, even individuals now with the internet, can be an international organization. So business is just extremely powerful, has so many of the resources, and if a shift of consciousness is going to take place on the planet, business has to be a part of it, and maybe even the driving force. And just got to imagine that if business did start to step into this role of helping to make the planet a better place, a more loving place, a place more welcoming to everyone, a place that cares about the environment, a place that cares about personal growth. If business started doing that more, because many businesses do that, the shift will happen much faster and much easier without some of the cataclysmic kinds of changes.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. Whose time has come?
I was going to say, so many people in the consciousness movement and who are really deeply involved in spirituality have made an enemy, you know, looked at corporations as the enemy, as the big evil force, and it's just not true. And the news does paint the dark side of corporations, but that's not the truth of what's really going on. There's just a lot of very, very good people in some very good organizations trying to make a difference, and many leaders with deep spiritual practices. And now we're starting to find many corporations, like you mentioned, Google, Marianne. Google has, I think, their most popular course is one that's on mindfulness that people, I've been seeing it in the news, and I need to learn more about it. But there's been so much written up about it, and now they're being a model for other corporations that are teaching contemplative practices and mindfulness as something that's really good for business people and for the business itself. So that gives me hope.
Absolutely. That is definitely a step in the right direction. I mean, you know, it's funny, you opened up a couple of doors in my head here. You know, so much of the time I feel like corporations, negative, stay away, you know. And, you know, I don't do that with people, though. People I embrace, even if I know that they got a different opinion or something, I try to keep myself open to that. And try to bring them into a consciousness of, you know, of truth of some sort, kind. And I guess, you know, is a corporation a person? You know, wasn't that a question that they asked once?
That was a legal question.
Was that Romney or whatever?
Corporations
are people too.
Legally, I don't think. I mean, my opinion. That's not a good way to think about a corporation.
No.
But a corporation is
individuals.
Really a series of agreements between human beings.
Right.
That's all it is, a set of relationships and agreements on how we're going to function together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we might build a building around us, and we might, you know, do different things that help to keep us all interconnected. But it is just people who want to make a difference.
Absolutely.
That's interesting way
yeah.
to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Marianne, how about in your bank? How would you see some of this in terms of consciousness or spirituality or edge walking? What's going on there? Have you already talked about that on this show?
Not really. We, but I, you know, I have to say the bank that that I'm involved with is like one of the projects that I'm working on right now is. We're videoing women business owners and telling their story. And, you know, for the bank to put resources to pay someone to develop, you know, to take the videos, edit the videos, and then promote them, to promote their customers and, you know, promote buying local and supporting local businesses, it's, they don't have to do that. You know, and to me, that's a form of, you know, being mindful and building community.
And getting, you know, if you think of a corporation as having self-awareness, and one of the self-awareness questions is, who is the self? If your bank asks, who is the self? It sounds like your bank is answering it more than just the bricks and mortar. The self is contains our customers, our community.
Absolutely.
It's a larger consciousness about who we are together.
Mm-hmm. I think we've had the Hopewell Valley community. What was he? The president, the CEO, and
it was the chairman of the board.
Chairman of the board,
Mr. Patrick Ryan, and the president James Hyman.
Right, and they all expressed this outreach to the community, how important that is in a community bank. And how that differs from big banks.
Yeah, and Judy, you know, this is kind of an interesting. When they were interviewed in a and separately, and asked what they were both most proud of, and they both basically said the same thing, and that was that when they drive around the community and they see the businesses that you know they've lent money to, or the homes that you know they've lent money to be able to build, and the impact in the community, and you know the turf field on the high school that they sponsored, and all the other sponsorships, and then the other thing was giving meaningful careers to over 100 people, and for both leaders to have that same heart, you know, that was the impact on the community and the ability to give their employees meaningful careers. I think that says a lot.
It does.
Yep, that's the inner work and the outer work. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there is hope. There's hope.
There's a tremendous amount of hope.
I know.
It's like, let's just ignore the newspapers.
Yeah.
And let's start telling the positive stories. Because there's so many of them. It's just quite amazing. Really, really. And to have these kinds of values and this kind of consciousness that Marianne's describing in the bank is good business. I just recently spoke at length with a man that I've met years ago who was the CEO of an aerospace company in Germany. His name is Rüdiger Fox, and we had nominated his company for the Spirit at Work Award. And he has, he took a company that was losing money, and through installing spiritual principles and looking at how do we institutionalize each of these spiritual principles, so he's Baha'i, so his principles were trustworthiness and humility, and I don't remember some of the others, dignity for everyone, and they created systems and programs and the way they paid people and the way they hired people and the way they managed the factory were based, everything was based on spiritual principles. And he took it from losing like 3 million euro a year to break even the first year, and then the next year making €1 million, and then the next year making €4 million. I mean, it was just dramatic turnaround. And all he did was bring in spiritual principles.
Mm-hmm.
And the owner company got freaked out because they didn't know what he was doing, and it was just like, you know, it was too on the margins for him. Rudiger was too much of an edgewalker. So they fired him and got a job somewhere else.
Uh-huh.
And he did the same thing. He did that 4 times where he turned around corporations using the same principles every time. So it's really powerful, good business.
Yes, it is.
It works.
Uh-huh.
People are hungry for meaning and for, like, you talked about the jobs in the bank, meaningful jobs that give you a sense of purpose, and they're so hungry for that.
But these, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
The representatives in Congress and in the Senate, they don't seem to have the same consciousness, you know, and they run a lot of businesses and tell what the people have to do, and they kind of run these businesses in a sense, you know. They give them, you know, we can't have, you know, we can't bring up the minimum wage, and we can't give people leave at this and that, and they vote against the people half of the time.
Yeah.
You know.
So we need more spirituality in the government.
There you go. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. There's a book called Spiritual Politics that by Colleen and, Colleen McLaughlin and her husband. I can't remember his name.
Okay.
And they actually lived in Washington, D.C. for quite a number of years, and they ran the Center for Visionary Leadership there. And right in the heart of Washington, and they did work with a lot of spiritual government leaders. I actually went to a conference that they attended, and the Secretary of the Treasury came and spoke and shared her own spirituality and how that affected the way she led the Treasury.
Okay.
It was stunning.
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, so it does exist, but it's still in very small pockets, and the whole large system is set up to squish those people out of the system. They don't get the votes and the money and whatever it is they need to stay there, unfortunately. But that's our fault, too, if we don't vote those people in.
Right, right, right. Well, you know, like you said, that's our fault, and people have that. It really blows my mind when there's so many programs that are out there and laws that are hurting people, but they'll still vote for the guy who's installing it. And
I don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't understand it. It's hurting the people that, you know, it's like cutting the branch that they're sitting on, but they're still voting for these people. And it's a big job, but it's great that you've put the step forward there to open me up to looking a little deeper into, you know, corporations.
Well, and look deeper into the government. And look deeper into the military.
Yeah.
I met a woman in, Taos, New Mexico. I met this woman, just, you know, one of those synchronicity kinds of magical things.
Uh-huh.
And her name was Major Money, M-O-N-E-Y, Major Money. And her last name was Money, and she was a retired major from the Pentagon. She's a medical doctor, and she had been studying indigenous people and indigenous medicine, because when we send soldiers out into Cambodia or places where they're in the jungle, or they need to know, you know, I mean, they run out of medicine. They need to know how to use local plants and local herbs and local medicine to heal themselves if they're shot or if they catch a disease. And in the process of doing that, and she's a very spiritual person, she really began to see her mission as protecting indigenous culture and indigenous spiritual wisdom. She was doing that at the Pentagon.
Wow.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So, you know, you just got to scratch the surface a little bit, and you find these amazing people doing wonderful things, and they're not in the headlines, but they're quietly working as unsung heroes to shift the consciousness.
It's great.
I have great hope for the world moving forward, and including in these big systems that we often demonize. And, you know, by demonizing it, we're giving that more
power,
negative energy. Yeah, it's like, never mind. Let's look for the light in these places, because it's there.
I love it.
Is that an attribute as well? Look for the light?
I think that's, yes. I hadn't thought of that, but let's
being
add
positive.
Let's definitely add that. But, you know, that's actually part of one of the skills. You asked about qualities, Marianne, but there's also skills of an edgewalker. And one of them is the skill of manifesting, because edgewalkers do change things. So they know how to take something from the idea realm or the invisible or spiritual realm and turn it into reality. And quantum physics tells us everything, including the universe, began with a thought, or the quantum physics equivalent of thought, and it turns into something material. And when we emphasize the positive and the good, and we believe in our visions and we trust our instincts, then we do manifest something really quite amazing and powerful. And if we give in to fear and negative images and only believe what the media tells us about how horrible the world is,
right,
then we don't have any energy left to change things.
That's right.
That's good.
That's right. I love it. I love this idea. I mean, it's something that I try to practice in my life, of being positive, and, you know, I've get darts thrown at me when I am so positive about things, you know. It's just amazing. But, you know, to persevere in places where I don't usually go, you know. Yeah,
that makes you an edgewalker.
Yeah.
I've
always, you know, I guess because I was also entwined in politics for a while, and I broke away. And now, you know, kind of get back into it, everyone. And that kind of brings out that duality. Rather than seeing things as light, you know, that duality as negative comes out. And you've given me a little sight into, yeah, I have to look at everything in that thing. And I usually do, but it's hard in a world that's fighting back against it, you know, so hard against...
Yeah.
Against truth and against positive stuff, they fight so hard against it, and then you feel like alienated. Wait, well, you're on that side. You're on the negative side. Okay, instead of that, I have to bring you into the positive side, or at least I have to show you the positive side and make that attractive. Of course, Dick Gregory once said that if you have something good, you don't have to worry about selling it. He said, they'll steal it from you.
Yeah, you know, something that I've actually kind of, I used to always be feel like I had to fix people or get them, you
that's
know.
That's right, that's right.
And I don't know, you just shine. Just shine truth.
That's it.
Shine truth,
that's
shine
it.
Light.
Yep.
And
yep, that's it.
Yep. Thank you for both saying that. That really is so important. I mean, again, it's the law of attraction. That you don't have to go change anybody. If you stand in your truth and you take steps towards your vision, you're going to inspire others. They're going to want to join with you. They're going to want to learn more about how you do things and want to be more like you. I remember when I first started working at the University of New Haven in Connecticut, I was very successful in my classroom, and my chair of my department called me in one day and he said, you know, your students are raving about you and I want to know what it is you do. And I thought, what an interesting question, you know, and he cares, it's pretty neat. And I said, the truth is, it isn't about what I do, it's how I am being.
Right.
And the way I am
right.
being is I go into that classroom loving them.
Mm-hmm.
And everything happens from that space.
Absolutely.
Well, his eyes rolled in his head. He didn't get it.
Uh-huh.
He didn't throw darts, though. Thank goodness. He didn't throw darts.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the thing. You can change an awful lot just through being in this loving presence. One of my dearest friends is a CEO of a major company in Canada, and he's really a spiritual advisor for me. His name is Robert Wimay, and he says his whole goal in life is to every day be more loving than the day before. And he spends a huge amount of time in prayer and contemplation. He meditates every day. He goes to Mass every day. And his goal is, in those practices, he wants to be as loving as he can be, more loving every day. And he knows he can't do it alone as a fragile human being. He needs spiritual help to do that.
Mm. Absolutely.
We need more CEOs like that.
Yeah. Just tune into your breath, tune into yourself, and you know, and you can find that place.
Yeah,
so we need to be directed.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful place. We have about, let's see, about four more minutes. So, would you like to talk about some quickly, like give a little bit of where people can reach you, and we didn't even get to your books, which is amazing. That's amazing. We're going to have you back if you can come back sometime.
Love to.
That'd be
sure.
Great.
I have four books, and I'm writing two more. And they can find out about my books on my website.
Right.
We're in the process, like in another week, it'll be, the new website will be live. I have two websites. One is judineal.com, judineal.com. That's more of my consulting website. And then the edgewalkers.org, that's plural, edgewalkers.org, is the website to build community and provide resources to people trying to make the world a better place.
Yeah,
and, I've got a number of workshops coming up. They're in places like Africa and Dubai. So,
ooh, I want to go to Africa.
Yeah, we'll hop on a plane. That sounds great.
Do you need someone to carry your luggage?
Absolutely, Marianne. I'd like you to co-train with me because you're special. You could do it.
That's wonderful.
I am going to do a workshop with my business partner in Dubai, but we'll do it in Fayetteville, Arkansas, this winter. So that is one U.S. workshop we're doing. But just the website is the best place to get a hold of me, or email me at judi@edgewalkers.org. And I'd love to hear from people, especially if you have questions or some particular thing that you're wondering about on your own edge that I might be able to help you with. So just feel free to contact me.
Absolutely. I'm going to give some of the titles of your books: People and Organizations That Take Risks, Build Bridges and Break New Grounds. And then you co-authored the book, Spirit of the Project Management, with, you did that with Alan Harpham?
Harpham, yeah.
Yeah, and the editor of the handbook, Faith and Spirituality in the Workshop.
Workplace,
I'm sorry. And Creating Enlightened Organizations, Gateways to Spirit at Work. I mean, these are great titles to books. I mean, that anybody who it tells you exactly what it's about, you know, where to go. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm just trying to provide resources to people who really do want to do business in this new, more enlightened way. And so there's lots of corporate examples in these books, and exercises and resources and tools and latest research. And, yeah, I just tried to jam-pack it full of resources for people.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I would imagine there, you know, in corporations, because of the way that they're structured with, you know, the layers and people vying for position and all of that, that there's a real hunger within the organizations to be able to learn how to navigate in that kind of an environment. And, you know, and to be able to navigate in that, because it's not easy.
No, it's not. And the biggest decision someone has to make is whether or not to be authentically who they are or to play the game and lose part of their soul.
That's right.
That's the toughest decision.
That is. That is a lot of weak knees in that decision. Which way to go?
Well, maybe less and less over time. I think, especially with the younger generation, they really have a stronger sense of self than maybe someone who came from the generation I did, which was much more conformist. I have a great deal of hope for the future.
Amen to that.
It was so great.
Yeah, we gotta wrap it up. So, you wanted to say something about where Hopewell Bank. You want to give a little information on that?
Oh, Hopewell Valley Community Bank. If you live local, you should buy local, and you should definitely be banking local. Hey. Hopewell Valley Community Bank.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Judy.
Thank you, Vinny, and thank you, Marianne. This has been wonderful.
It was wonderful connecting with you again.
Yes,
too. Let's stay in touch.
And yes, we will.
Yeah, I want to go to Africa with you.
Okay, you're coming.
Okay, well, we're going to wrap this up. Tonight we're going to have the Shack Hour with the Shack Band coming on and right at 7 o'clock. And at 6 o'clock is Green Hour with the Environmental Program with Gary Joliff. And we've got a lot of stuff here. So come back, everybody. See you next week. Actually, this show, if you have missed any part of it, it'll be on all week at 5 o'clock, and we have archive shows at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. So thanks, everybody, for listening. We will see you soon in the green room.
God bless you, Judy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That was great.
Bye-bye, Judy.